And playing, appreciate that. Well, it is a joy to get back in the Bible. It's such a good, it's a blessing rather to have Brother Coffee with us, and I hope that you'll get to spend a little time with him afterwards. He's heading back home tonight, and so he's not going to stay in the area, so he won't be able to stay a real long time, but hope you get by to see him and let him know that you'll be praying for him. Don't forget that if you're bringing stuff in for the children's home next Sunday, bring that in sometime this week. Phyllis's office is getting filled up with stuff that we're going to shower those kids with next week. And I want you to be here a week from tonight, and we'll have a great, great time together. And we're looking forward to that. So that'll be happening next Sunday night. Please, speaking of Phyllis, continue to pray for Bert. He's doing well. Had surgery this past Wednesday, but keep him in your prayers. He's up and about the house getting around. So keep praying for him, and pray for Miss Connie Fish as well, that the Lord would continue to strengthen her as she had surgery on Wednesday, and we'll be doing some testing after that. And so we're praying that the Lord would just bless there with the results of that. And I talked to Brother Jordan earlier tonight, and he's going to give a report here in the coming services about their wonderful, Jordan and Rachel have some wonderful news. Many of you heard during, over Facebook and different things, but about little Miss Emarie that's with them there, and we won't share all of that, but I just want to rejoice with this family, and God has been so good to them, and expanding their family now officially. And after this adoption, it's just a wonderful thing to see God working. So I want you to be praying for them and seeking the Lord on their behalf. And we'll thank the Lord for that. And then one other announcement or prayer request. Brother Dan and I will have the funeral service tomorrow for Miss Georgia Miller. It'll be 1 p.m. down at the Veterans Cemetery there in Johnson City. So we'll be praying for that, praying the Lord would bless. And so those are some of the things I want to share with you. Let's look in the Bible, shall we? It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want to preach this message tonight. It's 15 after 7. I'll get you out at normal time. I want to preach this message tonight, though, because Brother Coffee was here, and then remind us about what we are all about. Remind us of who we are. We are supposed to be those that declare the gospel. There are many, many, many folks that in this room we would hold as our job in life to be a provider for our family, and well, we should. We would hold in this our job to be ones that are parents to some young people, and certainly if God has given you children, then He has given you the command to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And there's other folks that you hold a great position in your company or in whatever business you're in, and that's an important project. And me, I'm the pastor of this church, and I've got a lot of responsibility, just like you have a lot of responsibility, just different areas. But where we're looking at tonight is what our thrust of our purpose on this earth is, and that is to declare the gospel. Do you know that God could do, or your company rather, could do most of your work with an unsaved person? Most or all of your work could be done by a good, character-filled, lost individual. And unfortunately, a lot of things that get done in church work and could be done by some, by an outsource to a company that's out there, just comes in and cleans or come in and does this or that or the other. But what they can't do is, or not effectively anyways, they cannot share the gospel. We can contract with a printing company, and we do, and print our tracts that have the gospel written on the back of there, and we'll give those out. But do you know what makes a gospel effective? Of course, the salvation work of Jesus Christ. But what the way the system that God has instituted is for you and I to declare the gospel. Brother Mark said, why would he want to spend his life doing something that doesn't matter? How would he want to raise his kids doing something that's not declaring the gospel? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Verse 1 of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Which I have preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved. God's just pouring it on. So you know what he's talking about here. If you keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then it goes on, verse 5 down to about 11. And he was seen of Cephas and of the 12, Peter and the 12, the disciples. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren. And he was then in verse number 9 said, he was seen of him, Paul, the least of the apostles. And so I want to draw your attention unto that verse number 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and he rose again. Father, bless us now. It is our prayer. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I read a story years ago about two men. They founded a bread restaurant. They founded one called Au Bon Ton, and they wanted to make their bread famous. They incorporated another bakery company in there and sold off some of that. But their theme was going to be, or their mission statement, back before mission statements were all that popular. But their mission statement was this: a loaf of bread in every arm. They sold off some of the holdings of their company that was growing, and they formed what now is, most of you have been there, Panera Bread. And they built their business, although they sell other things, on trying to sell bread, a loaf of bread in every arm. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I have no idea about the companies and its foundings and all of that, but I would want to have more important things in my life than to just put a loaf of bread under the arm of every individual. I do, if you had that company, if you had that business, I would suggest that not only should you have the business to try to be a successful business person, but I would think you'd want to have that successful business funding something where you were able to declare the gospel. Why do we run the buses? Why do you teach Sunday school? Why do you have preaching services? Why do you do all these things? We do them, my friend, to declare the gospel. And I want to set the reset button on all of us tonight in the next 10 minutes. And that is to remind you, whether you're a teenager or a senior citizen, that your job and my job is to declare the gospel every time God gives us opportunity. The gospel is found in verse number 3 and verse number 4. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. The most concise placement of the gospel in the entirety of the Bible is found in those two verses that we read, and it tells about the death, burial, and resurrection. That, my friend, is why we have hope in Jesus Christ, because the world would say, many people would say, that Jesus was a great teacher, and he was. Many folks would say that he came and he spread a lot of love in the area that he lived, and he did. But the reason that the message of the gospel is effective and it brings salvation is because of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. I see the presentation of the gospel in verse number 3 and 4. As we mentioned, Harvard Business School calls something that a lot of politicians do when they avoid the questions that are asked, they call that the art of the dodge. Robert McNamara was the Secretary of Defense during the Vietnam War, and you think about people that were put on the spot because of the information, misinformation that was sent out there, and the hatred for the conflict. Robert McNamara said this: don't answer the question you're asked. Answer the question you wish you were asked. And that's why it's frustrating for you and I when you watch politicians and interviewers will ask them a question and they totally avoid that question and they ask or they answer what they want to answer. My friend, we are not in the business of the art of the dodge. We're not trying to get around the main subject. We are not trying to get around the questions that are asked. We are heading them head on. And you and I, as Christians, we are supposed to be involved somehow actively in the presentation and declaration of the gospel. If you can sing, talk to Brother Dan, get in the choir and sing the gospel. If you can help teach one of our classes and you can present and declare the gospel, then do it. As Brother Coffey said, if God is stirring your heart and working on you to where you might take the gospel to places where it is not currently being proclaimed, then get the support, get out there and declare the gospel. If it's none of the above that God has called us to do, then it's your calling, it's our calling, it's every Christian's calling to find a way on a personal basis to declare the gospel. It does not matter if all you're doing is taking gospel tracts and putting them in your bills when you send them back to somebody that you owe money to for your electric bill, your water bill, and all those things. If that's the way you're going to get the gospel. If you're going to put it in places where people can get it to read, get those gospel tracts and get it. I'm saying to us that we need never get off the firing line of presenting the gospel. I see the presentation of the gospel in verse 3 and 4, but I want you to see in verse 5, 6, 7, and 8 the proof of the resurrection. He was seen of Cephas, Peter, and of the 12. He was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part, when this was originally written and given to the people at Corinth, the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James and of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due season. Now, there's been so many different ways to explain away Jesus Christ. Let me give you just one of them. One that non-believers, God deniers, deniers of the resurrection that they put forth over the years is a hallucination theory. That the disciples were all in a group hallucination. But when you see the scriptures here, that upwards of 500 people were seeing that. I read from Gary Sibbe. He was a clinical psychologist. He said this, "I have yet to find a documented case of a group hallucination." You say, how could somebody say it was a group of hallucination? All of them was smoking the same stuff, or all of them was picking mushrooms or whatever some of you all do. I don't know which how you do that, but whatever happens. I was kicking over some mushrooms in our yard the other day. I said, well, I wouldn't want to. I'm thinking, how did the person know which mushrooms are okay? I mean, you assume the ones they put in your steak are good ones. But how'd they find that out? Well, that one's bad. That guy dropped over. That one's bad. You say, why would somebody have such an absurd theory about this group of people, hundreds of people, having a group hallucination? I'll tell you why they'd have such an absurd theory. They don't want to face the truth. People will go to great lengths to deny what they don't want to admit. And we've got a wicked world that we live in that wants to do anything except admit and confess that there is a Savior, Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again. Because if that miracle happened, they have to do something with it. And they do not want to be brought to a point where they have to reject or accept it. So what they'd rather do is deny. But I see the proof of that resurrection. Now let me give you in verses 12 down to 18 or 19 or so. I want us to see not only that proclamation of the gospel, presentation of it, declaration of it, and then the proof of it because of the people that saw it. But I want you to look in verse number 17 and 18, 19. We could read the whole section, but we won't for the sake of time. But I want you to see that this resurrection became our pillar of life. And if Christ be not raised, verse number 17, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And then the verse number 19, a verse that brings great motivation to us. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I told you we started off in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 that we were seeing the declaration of the gospel. But now you see that declaration that began in the first part of the chapter now becomes the pillar of all that we build our lives on. I introduced Preacher Lassley to Kyle's aunt and uncle, they later did, and his grandpa rather. If the resurrection is not true, then as verse number 19 says, we are of all men most miserable, and he wasted over half a century of his life proclaiming a dead message. We wasted our time in building these buildings. We wasted our time in all this great evangelism work. We've wasted our money and our resources if this message is not true. But my friend, if this message is true, then it deserves me to build my life upon it. You say, of course you do. You're the preacher. I'm not talking about the pastor. I'm called to do this. I'm commanded to do this. Whether I was the pastor of this church, the janitor of this church, or just lucky enough to come sit in the pews of this church, we understand that it becomes the pillar of our lives. That's what makes us who we are. Amy and I were privileged this afternoon. We drove to North Carolina for a funeral of a godly man who lived till he was 94. And as we sit there and listen to pastors that would talk about him, he'd been a deacon for years at our church that we served at in West Virginia. And as the speakers spoke and the singers would sing, we got to hear about a man, as they said, that built his life and his family on the truth of Jesus Christ. My friend, it's worth you building your life on. It is worth you building your teenage years on, and your young adult years on, and your middle adult years on, and your senior adult years on. It's good enough to go to heaven on. It's the pillar of our life. It is the resurrection. So we see it start off as the declaration. That's why the coffees are going back to South Africa. That's why our missionaries are going somewhere, because going around the world, because it's worthy of the investment and the dedication of their lives. We look at somebody who risked everything to start a business and we say, wow, what dedication. I'll tell you something better than that. And that's somebody that gives their whole life to take the message of the gospel around the world where it's not yet heard. That, my friend, is dedication. I could tell you of Walt Disney, who mortgaged everything of his personal possessions just to start Disneyland, the first one in California, not Disney World over here. And if that thing had tanked, then everything that he'd ever owned would have been taken down with it. You say, wow, he must have been a great visionary. I'll tell you more than that, more important than a visionary that sees merry-go-rounds and rides and attractions is a visionary that sees that their purpose for life, the pillar of their life, the reason for us is to find somebody who doesn't know Christ and share with them the gospel. Amen. If you've got grandchildren, you ought to make it your daily prayer. Oh, Lord, let them be saved. If you've got family members who are not yet saved, it ought to be your heart's cry every day. Oh, Lord, let them be saved. If you're here and you're a member of this church, then it ought to be your attempt to try to get the gospel to somebody this week, because it's the pillar, it's the reason of our life, it's the resurrection. Because, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're in your sins. But if Christ is raised, then we are not of all men most miserable. Instead, we have built our life on the only thing that really matters. Folks, we either believe in a sham or else we believe in the truth. And if it's the truth, then it necessitates that we start doing something with it. Amen. It necessitates that we start living our lives in accordance to the great truth that our lives are built on. Can I encourage you today? The gospel is true, and the gospel empowers us, and we can confidently hang everything of our lives on the truth that Jesus Christ came from heaven, died on the old rugged cross, buried, and rose again. And if you're saved, he walks with you now. I declare unto you the gospel. May we live our lives on it. You say, I already know the gospel. Brother John, I got saved 30 years ago. I don't need the gospel. Oh, no, the gospel. Yes, you got saved 30 years ago, but that gospel has stuck with you, and that gospel message continues to develop in your life, not to get saved over and over again, but it continues to work in your life because, as one great theologian said, we were saved when you got saved. You were saved from the penalty of sin. Now as you grow and you learn about the scriptures and the gospel and you learn more, you are being saved from the practice of sin. You can be. We should be getting more and more and more like Christ. And one of these days, when the Lord returns or when we go to heaven through death, then we will be saved from the very presence of sin and we won't have to worry about it. The gospel didn't lose its power when I got up off of my knees on the day that I got saved. It was still just as powerful tonight as it was that day. It saved me from the penalty of sin. But now, praise the Lord, I am working and I'm trying to get more and more like our lovely Lord Jesus, so I could be saved from the practice of it. But one of these days, I'm thankful that this old flesh will drop and rise, and we'll seize our everlasting prize, and we'll be saved from the very presence of sin. Amen. That thing that you've been battling so long, one of these days, you'll leave it behind. Why is that even possible? That's possible because of the gospel. I declare unto you, it says in verse number 1, I declare unto you, moreover, I brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for bringing our friends together, dear Lord. Thank you for bringing the coffees our way. Lord, thank you for letting us sing the songs of Zion. Oh, Lord, that great song, How Great Thou Art. When I an awesome wonder, Lord, we just think about that. Thank you for letting us gather together tonight. Lord, thank you for giving me these few moments to remind us what our purpose on this earth is. Lord, if we've got grandchildren that are unsaved, Lord, let us bombard heaven that you might send all kinds of conviction their way to be saved. Lord, if we've got little ones that aren't even old enough to understand, dear Lord, may prayer start going up and just pray when they do understand that they'll be saved. Lord, if our lives are not saturated with the gospel, if we're not doing something actively to get the gospel to people that need it, dear Lord, show us this week how we can get the gospel to somebody. I declare the gospel. Help us, dear Lord, to live our lives around the gospel, and we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come this evening. Are we doing anything for the gospel? I preach myself under conviction, folks. I am not doing enough for the gospel. You say, you're the preacher. There's a whole lot of preachers that aren't doing enough for the gospel. And I, for one, am going to pray and ask the Lord to help me be about the gospel business more this week than I was last week. Would you do the same? Would you pray with me? That, Lord, like the preacher says, I want to be more involved in the gospel this week than I was before. Perhaps you're here tonight and the gospel, I said, is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That's the message that guarantees you, if you choose to accept Christ as Savior, guarantees you forgiveness of your sins. Have you ever come to Christ? If you've not, would you come? Brother Kyle's down here in front of the pulpit that I preach from. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that the gospel is what you're believing in, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and your life hasn't been centered around the gospel. You're saved, but it hasn't been centered around the gospel. Maybe some of you need to be baptized. You say, I want to proclaim the gospel even in my baptism. Folks who were baptized recently had guests here to see that so they could proclaim the gospel. There are gospel tracts out on the racks, and people took those last week, and I'm sure they'll take them this week so they can proclaim the gospel. There were statements made last week to different friends just bringing up the subject of Jesus. Why were they doing that? Because they want to declare the gospel. Whatever your need is, I trust that you'd come do business with the Lord. We're going to close in just a little bit, and I told you I preach myself under conviction. It's easy to preach things, it's hard to live them. But I need to be more consumed with the gospel this week as your pastor. And I'm going to pray asking God to help me. And I know there's trouble anytime you put publicly yourself out there. You put a big target on your back. But if you want to pray with me, certainly there's no way I'd know, but if you want to pray with me, I'd like to see us as an army go out of this place asking God to empower us to be more intent on getting the gospel out. If you want to pray, you pray silently there. This is not me leading in your prayer. This is me praying from my heart what I'm asking God to do in my life. Lord, forgive me for not being intent enough on the gospel. Lord, I'm the pastor of this church, but I can get busy in all kinds of other things. Lord, forgive me. Dear God, help me this week to be more intent, more intentional, and more consumed with the gospel than I was last. Dear Lord, help me do my part to get the only message that provides salvation. Help me do my part to get that message out. Lord, you've declared unto us the gospel. May it be what continues to be the central focus of this church, the gospel. Bless it to be true in my life this week, dear Lord, please, I pray. Amen. Thank you, folks. And whether you'd prayed that prayer with me or not, I'm asking you, if you didn't, to think about doing it. And we could be as an army going out of this church. In our conversations this week, when your coworkers say, but I'm having such trouble with this, or I'm having such difficulty understanding why this. Those are like God giving you big opportunities to go ahead and it's like God throwing you a slow softball pitch right across the plate. And when we don't hit, shame on us. Let's do our part this week to proclaim the gospel. I know sometimes you think, I'm not going to preach to you again. I know sometimes we think, well, I can't do that at work. It's not allowed. Don't be a bad employee. Find a time somewhere else. You've got other times you can do it. But let's declare the gospel. Thank you for being in church. Brother Coffee, I'm going to dismiss you all back and let them go back to the table. Maybe you can stop by and see them, encourage them. Been our missionary for 20 years or so, and want you to be praying for them. Get to put a face with the name, and so that you'll know to be praying for them by sight and just asking the Lord to bless them. Thank you for being here. Brother Dan, you've got a meeting tonight? Okay, if you're meeting with Brother Dan, that'll be over in the home builder's classroom. And thank you again for being in church today. God bless you. You're dismissed.